Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing podcast. Today we have a return guest, and she has one of her director of operations, Victor Orozco, who's going to be joining us today. But Marcy Baer has been on our podcast before. Marcy talked about how to truly niche yourself to a level of success that she's achieved that's been amazing. But she wouldn't have gotten there if it wouldn't have been for Victor. Now, I've been coaching and consulting for a long time, and here's the problem. A lot of advisors want to bring in interns, and they want to help people bring themselves up both personally and professionally, and a lot of times it goes terribly wrong, and for a lot of reasons. Either the advisor's terrible at managing, which of course I'm sure some of you are already raising your hands that that's you. They don't set clear expectations. We're going to talk about a real success story. Victor is a true success story, and the model that Marcy used to help Victor from an intern at San Diego State University 15 years ago. He's now a partner in the firm, and he is one of the key players. So Marcy and Victor, thank you so much for being on the show. Why don't you start with just giving us a little bit of history, like how did you even find out about Victor?
Okay, great. Thank you for having us. We're super excited. This is, like you said, a very important topic, and we're happy to share. So our journey started, let me give you just a little bit of history. I was in practice about almost 15 years at that point when we met. So started here in San Diego, great financial planning practice, fee-based planning, and we did a high volume of financial plans, which are very time intensive. At the point in time that I met Victor was really, it was a hard keeping up with the volume, which is a great thing to do, right? To have that problem is a good steady flow of referrals and clients, but trying to keep up with the inflow as well as still service the existing clients that had been clients for, at that point, 15 years or so.
Keeping the quality high.
And keeping the quality high. So as you mentioned, our niche is primarily LGBT couples and female executives. So within the LGBT community, it's a very tight-knit community. Everybody, you know, tends to know each other, run in the same circles. And so we have to do a good job for our clients because word gets out. It's not like they're scattered all over the United States and they won't ever run into each other. Right. So being just the personalities that we are, we wanted to keep the quality high. But then given the niche that we were in and they frequently talk to each other or see each other or know each other, that was another critical reason to keep the service high. That being said, then Victor enters the picture. So Victor is a junior, right? You were a junior at San Diego State at that time?
Yes. I don't think I was a super senior yet, but I think I was a junior at that time. Yep. Yeah. It was about 2 years before I graduated, I believe.
Right. So, mm-hmm. And so why don't you start from there?
Yeah. So I was introduced to the firm. We had a very unique firm where we actually had a financial planning department with inside the practice.
Right.
So that was very unique for an insurance BD back then.
Yeah. So I didn't mention that. So at that point in time, we are now independent advisors through LPL Financial. At that time, our broker dealer was MetLife Securities, and we were part of the financial planning division of MetLife here in San Diego. And so we had a larger office, a financial planning department, which actually is now working with us here at our new firm. We brought them with us. But that's where Victor kind of got his first start.
Yeah. So I was familiar with some of the people in that department, and they reached out to me and said, you know, there's a few advisors at our firm could use some help. Would you be interested in interviewing for the role? I said, absolutely. So at the time, kind of fast forward, I ended up working for three financial advisors when I entered the firm. So it taught me how to communicate and time management between three different practices
being an assistant for three advisors.
Correct. And they had separate practices. So it wasn't three advisors on an ensemble team, completely different practices. So I definitely learned by trial of fire. So, right. And then in that process, Marcy was one of the three. And over time, it just kind of became less of the three and more on you. And those advisors needed less help going forward. And our relationship continued mainly with Marcy and I at that time.
Yep.
And then fast forward to graduation. At that time, I had been working at the firm for about 2 years. And at that point, Marcy and management reached out to me and said, would you consider being an advisor? Do you want to make this your path? And at that time, I said, yes. Going into it, I didn't know what planning was,
what that meant,
you know, when I started. Mm-hmm. So I was able to be exposed to what financial planning is and the impact you can have on the finances of the consumer and the client. And I'll never forget the first financial plan, seeing a household completely change when a spouse passed away prematurely and they didn't have the proper plan in place. And then at that point, I said, oh, these are things that we can help protect our people from having these really dramatic changes in our life, not only emotionally, but financially, from a logistic, a geographical standpoint. So it was really kind of eye-opening of what financial planning is, and the process and the ways you can help people. So at that point, I'm like, okay, I can mix personal relationships with people, mix numbers, which I tend to be more on the analytic side, and it's a really good marriage of the two and something that really drew my attention.
So, Marcy, I'm sorry, I want to interrupt here because I want you to step back just a little bit farther, if you don't mind. So, one, how did you find the internship opportunity? And Marcy, how did you find out about that? And Victor, what in God's name is your education in? I mean, I get financial services professionals ask me that all the time. You know, Matt, should I only go for, you know, people who are in a financial planning program, business, communication, psychology? So rewind even farther before we jump ahead to all the partnership stuff.
You know, one of my classmates, my degree is in finance. So corporate finance through San Diego State. One of the classmates I had was actually working in the case design unit of the financial planning department at that firm already. And so he and I shared a few classes with each other. So randomness, I must have left a good impression with him or something. He thought I was at least capable and competent to at least introduce me to the people he was already working for. So it was kind of a warm introduction that, hey, we have some advisors that need help. They reached out to him. He was already at State. And so it was kind of a self-selection standpoint. And with San Diego State, we have a really great opportunity. We have a great financial planning services program in our university that I think could be tapped a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I was just very fortunate, although I wasn't in that program, someone in the backyard kind of reached out to me and brought me in.
Yep. So then once he came, then interviewed him, said, you know, I'd had a lot of assistance over the years. Mm-hmm. So I kind of knew what to look for and what not to at that time. He struck me as a good guy. And you never know till you start working together, right? Yeah. I was also started in the business as an assistant. So I was an assistant to an advisor for a couple of years before I got licensed and started my own practice. So I knew that journey already, knew what I needed from a support standpoint, and then just started working with Victor and start off with slow projects.
Like filing physical statements in accordion folders.
Of course, absolutely.
And making sure you had the most recent quarter, then you replaced the quarter with the annual. And, you know, times have changed since then, obviously. Yeah. But that I remember that being some of the first stuff we did.
Yep. Every one of my nieces came through that process. So Victor was the one that stuck, though.
All right. Now, here is where. So now that's all much clearer. So thank you for clarifying. A lot of financial services professionals don't understand how to create a legitimate career path for their team members. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I sat down with early on director of operations, you know, like the super number two who really doesn't have an official title yet, isn't a partner, that sort of stuff. How did you do that, Marcy? And in Victor, how did you push Marcy to help her with your journey?
So initially, Victor was a whopping $6 an hour, I think, employee,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Once he graduated and said, hey, I think I want to go down this path of I want to stay in the industry and being on the advisor side versus a support role and started getting the licensing, then we knew that at that point, I wanted to start grooming him into that path where he could then start taking over client relationships and actually meeting with clients and doing the presentations. Where we have found, and what Victor will kind of share, is that a lot of advisors, when they have that junior type person or they're mentoring someone, they won't let that person speak at all in meetings. So he'll talk about how it was different with us. In addition, I think that it just really helped our clients see that it was more than just me. God forbid I get hit by the bus. There's somebody else that's in the firm and understands what's going on. So from a standpoint of giving you the reins mm-hmm. and Why don't you share that side, how it was different than working with the other advisors? Because was still working with a couple of advisors at that time doing joint work. Oh, so that's one point I wanted to say, is that a lot of times with us, I made sure that he understood the value of prospecting and a lead, if you will, because when you start doing compensation splits, if you don't understand how valuable or how hard it is to get a client, then you take that for advantage. And so I wanted him to kind of struggle in the beginning a little bit, trying to get his own clients, if you will, and understand that that is not an easy part of the process. And so when there is an opportunity for a joint presentation or a joint client, that to value that that lead, if you will, that referral.
Okay? Absolutely. And so when I was approached and I said, yes, I want to move forward with this, I was exposed to a lot of other advisors and how they ran their practices, how they spoke about their clients, and how they treated joint advisors in the meeting with them. So although I was new, I didn't know necessarily what I wanted. I definitely knew what I didn't want. And I saw how advisors would, I don't want to say treat their clients, but there's dynamics, how you speak, how you present yourself. The kind of backstage pass I received for a couple of years was very eye-opening. And seeing how Marcy ran her practice and the value set that she has and how she treated everyone and what she did in the office and outside of the office really said, you know what, if I want to pursue a path and mold myself to a degree, I really like the way Marcy has been doing it compared to others. So, and everyone's a little bit different. They have their different preferences, but that fit well with me. And I think that's what Marcy mentioned, fast forward, of how the trust began and all that would go. I think she noticed that I was engaged and I really wanted to participate, and she allowed me. And I think that was the biggest and most empowering thing, is advisors may want a junior, or like you said, like a super number two that's in this gray area, but they never really give them that moment, I feel, or they really wait. And the moment's never going to come. The junior is never going to be fully ready. And you just have to take the leap of faith and, you know, have the kind of trial by fire and let them, maybe they might misspeak to a client, maybe they're not, but if they do it, they do it well, then that confidence is so much greater than you can see, okay, this is what a junior can look like. So you really have to be true to yourself of what isn't a junior to me and what do we really want that to look like? And is it a glorified cold caller or is it truly, truly a junior, right? Or overqualified, whatever the case may be. But I remember, I was trying to reflecting on today's talk. I remember the client that, I can't recall the topic, but I remember the client that I was speaking and Marcy kind of let me run with that. And when it was all said and done, she looked at Marcy and it was almost a very mob-like approval, this little like nod. And, said, and she was heard saying, Marcy, is this guy talking cuckoo or is it what he's saying making sense? And she just kind of gave this little nod and the client says, okay, we're good. And that was so subtle, but yet so powerful. And I think Marcy was quicker to get to that stage, willing to take that risk to see if it will work or not and not get ready to get ready. And I think that was the first step, and getting there faster was really powerful and kind of propelled the relationship and engagement and kept me engaged, mm-hmm. knowing that, you know what, she actually is going to kind of let me figure this out as well. So, and I wasn't naive enough to know that that wasn't very significant, or, you know, we protect our clients, and as advisors, we're very protective, controlling type of personality. So I know that's a big step, and I know I'm not naive enough to think that, hey, the first meeting, you're going to let your super number two talk like crazy. I get right. that. But those little things really help progress the relationship, I believe.
With where you've started, so you have client-facing relationships, a lot of advisors struggle with the idea of if you're not producing, you're an expense. Are right. you actually in production? Because your title is Director of Operations, which would lead me to believe that you're doing more of the day-to-day stuff. Marcy, and this question's for you, and I really hope that our advisors turn up the volume on this, because you have had to balance that or make a conscious decision that the value that Victor brings to the firm doesn't necessarily have to be directly correlated to the amount of revenue he brings in. Help yep. us with that.
Yeah, because definitely whenever you bring on staff, you have to have that conversation or do the numbers. With him, definitely the cost was higher for quite a bit of time, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Before revenue picked up and compensated for that. This was part of the conversation today, is that I made that conscious decision also to have the compensation joint revenue be high enough that he could eat, you know, because so many times, you know, in this beginning, those first, you know, year or two or something of that kind of a junior relationship, if the person is supposed to bring in business and they can't bring in enough to, you know, cover their, you know, top ramen, then they're not going to stay in the business. Right. And so it had to be high enough. So it was painful, but it needed to be high enough so that he could actually be compensated and live, you know, not in lap of luxury, but.
And if it was a high cost, but didn't work out, that wouldn't have been sustained for so long either. Right. So if it was a high cost and it's working out, then you know, it becomes less of a cost and more of an investment. And I think that's where Marcy was very generous in the fact that she did allow me to eat, right? But
I did have a lot of trail mix at the office, yes, too. So when he got hungry, I just keep eating, keep going.
Trail mix and jerky.
Oh, yeah, jerky, too. All
right. I got my stipend after every appointment set, right?
Nice. Very good. But, you know, but having beef jerky on hand is good.
Valued. And, you know, some other joint work I've done, the value that I received was, you're going to listen to me close a case. I'm going to present, and that's your value you're getting from working with me. Mm-hmm. That advisor is most likely taking a majority of the case. They're using some MDRT
split.
That's never going to
like
be favorable.
Like 25%, 25 if you brought the client mm-hmm. in, 25% if you worked, presented the case, 25% if you serviced it.
So you get 5% if you smile and take notes, right? That's right. So kind of getting past that hurdle, because where we're at now, communication and compensation are key in any relationship. I mean, it's a professional marriage. So if you're able to get that taken care of and you feel strong about that, you have open communication about that, we feel that we can, I mean, we're going to go on 15 years next month. Mm-hmm. And I think we can go through any challenge that we could face because we've had good communication, we're very transparent with each other, and we have that emotional buy-in with each other that it takes a lot to get there, but you kind of have to put it out there first and hope that everything else catches up to it. And Marcy taking those first steps in the beginning allowed us to get where we're at today.
Your question also had to do with like roles and responsibilities. And so that's what we've also been clear is that I am better and like more being outside. So think of me as outside sales, he's inside. So I do more of the business development and bringing in the clients, create the relationships with CPAs and attorneys, our professional partners. And then nurture the relationship with our clients to continue the referral flow. And Victor is the numbers guy. So while we both were, you know, I'm a CFP, obviously I know numbers, but when it comes to presentations and getting really deep into the analytics, that's when Victor comes in. A lot of our clients we will do joint appointments with, depending on the client and the personality. If we know, if it's an engineer type person, they want to go really deep. But most of the time, an engineer is not married to an engineer, right? And so then we've got to be able to adapt and communicate to both people, right? And so both couples. And so Victor can go deep in the weeds on the analytical side with the numbers and then all bond with the other half of the couple.
How did you, Marcy, get past the fear of Victor making a mistake? I hear that so often.
Sure.
Well, and Victor, you said it really well. They're never going to be ready, right? You weren't ready until you got thrown into it. So Marcy, you had to make a conscious decision.
Yep.
Let's walk through that conscious decision so that other people can learn and hopefully empower people like Victor to do. And I mean, he's now a partner in the firm. I mean, this is like the best case scenario. So help us with that.
Right. Yeah. So the client that he's speaking of was not my number one client, right? So you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't have, you know, your biggest or I should say they could be the biggest, but not the, like personality wise, I knew that the clients that I introduced him to would be cool. They knew that he was, new in the business. And so we would take baby steps like that.
Right. But I also knew, too, it wasn't the young professional couple that's a blank canvas, right, that I know, okay, yeah, she's kind of guinea-pigging me on, you know, a blank canvas client. I mean, I knew who that client was, and I knew it was important.
Yeah. So he took it from a professional standpoint that he wasn't going to say anything crazy. I trusted that, right? And it was smaller conversations. And when it came to actually presenting a financial plan, Now, that's later in the relationship with the client as or in the process, the sales cycle or the financial planning process with the client. So the initial meetings, they needed to know from the beginning, though, that he was part of the team and that he was competent. It did no good if in every meeting I had to talk and all he's doing is taking notes. I could have had a recorder, you know, do that, right? And so the whole point was so to be able to offload work and be able to have clients trust him and continue that relationship. And if I did all the speaking, which is what most advisors do, is they won't let, and if they dare speak, you know, they won't do another joint meeting with them. And so I had to get past that so that it was about Victor bonding with the client and not just me, mm-hmm. so that he could get his confidence up, sure. but just as much the client could be confident in him.
And then we would play off each other. Because then at that point, it's not only you speak or only I speak. It was, I don't want to say the show, but anytime.
It's just natural for us.
It was natural. But we were presenting plans. Back then, I think we used a Navi plan. Like, we knew at what chapter Marcy was speaking, and I knew what I was chapter. So we had so much nonverbal communication that we knew who was going to speak when, which made the dynamic look really good. The client felt that there's a really good synergy and really good dynamic. And it was just really good mojo in the room. And I think allowing the super, I don't know what we want to call it.
Shapes and colors with me.
Yeah.
Tables
and charts, right?
And charts for him. Yeah.
And I think having the client see that we're kind of ping-ponging off each other and discussing, they truly feel it. It is a collaboration. You really do have a team. And it's not just, you know, doctor, nurse kind of, you know, mentality where one person's coming in talking, another person's just charting kind of a thing. So I think that's been helpful even to today.
Yep.
Now, both of you have painted a magnificent picture, and now I'm hoping that every financial services professional will wake up and realize that there's probably somebody within their team that they could do exactly what has happened between you, Marcy, and Victor. But I want to talk about some freaking warts here, people, because I'm sure it wasn't entirely smooth sailing. What mistakes did you both make? And the most important part of that is, how did you get past those to get to where you are now?
I think one of the mistakes that we, or the conflicts that we kind of have might be, like Marcy mentioned, right, outside versus inside, right? So if I'm in the kitchen cooking kind of concept, and she's upset how the food's prepared, I'm saying, well, come in the kitchen and learn how to make it,
right?
So I think the conflict comes of assuming the other person's process may not be as good, or, you know, really having the left brain comment on the right brain activities, so on and so forth, right? So I think, but we have good communication. We talk about it, saying, you know, why don't we do it this way? Why don't we do that way? And then, okay, well, let me see you do it, this process, and you get a look and feel of it. And I think advisors, when they're working with juniors or super twos, whatever you want to call it, they're, you know, back in my day-ism, or we've already done it this way-ism, mm-hmm. it's been a long time since we've had carbon copy applications and trade tickets now, right? It's a whole new world. So I think there's a lot of value to letting your junior or your operations, let them educate the advisor and kind of boss them a little bit and say,
right,
this is how we need to do things. And then vice versa from top down, if this is how we're going to market or present ourselves, or this is the verbiage we're going to network with our professional contacts in, then they're educating the operational side of that too. So I think it's not to take each other for granted in the process, but really making sure we're staying in our own sandbox, but we're collaborating and learning why we do what we do. And having each person walk down that path in both departments, mm-hmm. so you understand why we're doing it and how we're doing it. So I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
Compensation in the process, right? It started at, you know, X percent, then gradual percent. And today we're 50-50. But I think at the speed of when do you go from 25 to a third to 40 to 50, money's so sensitive, right? We know we're working with our clients. Money is such a sensitive thing that if we don't have it ironed out internally, that creates big conflict. And I'm sure a lot of teams have broken up over petty things that could be fixable.
Yeah.
So I think really defining what that path is, what's it going to take for us to be a third and two thirds? What's it going to take for us to be 40-60, 50-50? And really clarify and don't say, well, we're just going to do this balance structure based on business brought in and it's subjective and it's a black box. We'll figure it out in December, right? So I think those are things that, you know, it's always money and communication, right? It doesn't really change. So I think those issues.
Clear roles.
Yeah, clear roles.
And just the client is the center of everything. So whatever process we're doing, where we're working on a financial plan for somebody, or he's coming up with some new efficient process for us, it all comes down to the client. Like, it's got to be in the client's best interest. And then how do we make things more efficient so that we can either spend more time with our family, our passions, or spend more time giving back to clients or community? Like, that's what drives us. And then the communication. So if something is a little, I mean, we can tell on each other's face if something's right. Then let's go. We talk about walk and talk. So almost every day we do a walk and talk, just get out of the office and just talk. Almost every day we have lunch together. Mm-hmm. So we spend a lot of time together just communicating on a personal level, but then business-wise, what's going on in the business that, you know, we could do better, and communication.
Well, every quarter we do a business retreat, and they're all a little bit different, but we always touch on an emotional check-in, right? Like, how are we feeling? You know, what was something that we did?
With staff, too.
Yeah, with staff. Definitely with our staff, too. So we know it's open door, and everyone can talk about it. But, you know, hey, this 1 week we did this, and it kind of really threw me off, X, Y, Z, an example. So we bring that up quarterly, so small things stay small things, and it'll become big things that ends up being the straw. So
I don't know if – I don't know, Marcy, if I had told you this when you were on the podcast previously, but I was a marriage counselor for a very short period of time because, just so both of you know, worst job ever. But
that's what we are too, right?
Right. Well, I know. You should get paid much better than I did.
So yeah.
But what I'm hearing, which is just unbelievable and such a great takeaway for our audience as we wrap up our podcast today, is it is really the same way to have a successful relationship with a significant other. It's clear communication, clear expectations. Don't let small things get to be big things, right? It's that whole don't go to bed angry thing.
Right.
Making sure that the other person understands where they want you to be. All of that is wonderful. And I believe that's truly one of the reasons why, and I know I can hear it in your voices, that it's one of the reasons why your partnership is so successful today.
Other people can do it too. So that's the encouragement.
Yeah, I think the key is really, you have to get to the part where you're truly emotionally invested into the other person's life outside of the office, right? I remember this past year, we were blessed with our first daughter, and the people at the hospital, my parents, my wife's mother that flew out from Minnesota, Marcy, right? I mean, I think that speaks to it a little bit too. So that's very important.
All right, closing thoughts, tips, or tricks that you want to share with our financial services professionals. Because if you are at that point of stagnation, which a lot of you get to, and you keep throwing all of this money at marketing and not realizing that it's really an infrastructure thing that's stopping you from taking that next exponential leap and being able to maybe even implement great marketing, having the right people in place really is the greatest tool in your marketing toolbox, because you can sell him, he can sell you, you play off of each other. But closing thoughts and ideas, words of wisdom that you can give to our audience so that maybe in 2019 they will wake up and realize that bringing on a super number two, a director of operations, a partner, could be the way that they hit the next level.
Yeah.
For me, it's don't find a clone, find a compliment.
Oh, perfect.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, right. Like, you've got to get along personality-wise, but skill-wise, you want somebody that has a different skill set than you. So with that comes a different way of doing things and thinking. So I think super big picture, but I've got to have Victor come back and say, well, yeah, but how are we going to execute that? And then what are the steps they're going to execute? So find somebody that needs to compliment you, take some pressure off of your plate so that you can, whether it is expand your practice, or maybe you're at the stage that you want to start slowing down and take more time off, then you've got to have somebody that can come in and take up that responsibility.
Be genuine about what you want that junior to be and be transparent about it.
Yep.
Transparent. Right. Like, really, if you're comfortable that you can have that junior be in the room with the top client and you walk by and just wave and you keep going and you don't have that, should I go in there and peek in? Right. If you're not ready for that, then you have to be transparent with that. So be real with yourself if you want to go down that path. Yep.
Frequent check-ins and communication.
Magnificent. Well, thank you guys very, very much for imparting this wisdom today. This is something that's so important for financial services professionals to hear, to have somebody that they can look to that has done it successfully, which I believe you two have done. Make sure that you check in with Marcy and Victor on social media. They're both very active. In fact, Marcy probably has one of the best Facebook accounts I've ever seen. they are very
Thanks
good.
Thanks, Victor.
Well, see, that's fantastic. And what a great way to utilize the other people's skill sets in order to get your message out there. So both of you, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, Matt,
for having us. Much appreciated.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. And if you know somebody who is in this position or should be in this position, make sure you click that share button. And finally, we have one final ask, which would be this. Take a moment to review the podcast. If you love it, if you hate it, if you're in between, we don't care. We just want to get some feedback from all of you. So if you could take a moment on iTunes or on Stitcher or any of those things and just go ahead and give us a quick rating, that would be magnificent. So for everybody at Bear Financial Planning, this is Matt Halloran from Top Advisor Marketing, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz. A platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at iris.xyz.